This is Pastor Dennis Episcopo, and I want to first let you know that if you have made a sincere commitment to surrendering your life to Jesus, I mean really, you've turned your life over to Him, and you're trusting Him for everything, you've made the most important decision in your life. Our life on this earth is really a blip on the screen of eternity. I mean, you live on this life, who knows how many days God gives you, but it's really just a blip on the screen of eternity. You want to make sure you nail this decision first before you nail any other decision in your life. So if you've come to really believe on Jesus, and what do we mean when we say that? Believing on Jesus means you're going to stop trusting in your own goodness, your own good things that you do in life, your religious label, and we all have religious labels, most of us do. I come from a Catholic background, or people come from Baptist or Alliance or Presbyterian, whatever. You don't trust in your religious label to get you to heaven. You trust in one thing. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, went to a cross. God sent His Son to planet Earth to die for all sins, all the past things that you're so ashamed of that you did, even the sins you're going to commit today, and the ones you haven't committed that you'll commit tomorrow. All of those sins, in one sacrifice, He pays the penalty. So you and I don't have to pay. And when a person stops trusting in themselves, you know, you ask the average person today, how are you going to get to heaven? They'll talk to you about how good they are. No, you don't get to heaven by your goodness or your religious label or going to church or getting baptized or confirmation. It has nothing to do with getting to heaven. People get into heaven because God sent His Son to die in our place. And if you personally, you have to receive that personally and believe that my sins are forgiven. I am a forgiven person. God loves me and has forgiven me for not only what I did in the past, but even what I'll do in the future, all because He died at the cross. I've applied that sacrifice to my sins. And when God says a person does that, and then surrenders their life to Him, you know, confesses Him as Lord, as it says in Romans. You confess Him as Lord. He's the leader of my life. I go in the back seat. He's in the front seat now driving this thing. When you do that and make that commitment, God's answer to that is new birth. He gives you the Holy Spirit. That's when you receive the Holy Spirit, and He comes inside of you, and He starts to change you from the inside out. But let me tell you something. All of that is just the beginning. So if you've made a commitment like that to Jesus, you're just starting this new life in Him and with Him. And a lot of people who do that get what I call saved and stuck. They make that commitment to Jesus. They're all emotional. They go, wow, God has really become real to me. And then they kind of sputter out. And it's because they don't continue to grow. In fact, this was a problem in the New Testament. At one point, one of the writers of the New Testament in Hebrews, he has to say this to some Christians. You've been believers for so long, you ought to be teaching other people. But instead, you need someone to teach you all over again the basics about God. You're like babies who can only take milk instead of solid food. Now that you have said yes to Jesus, you've got to start growing in your faith so you get beyond the milk, so to speak, and you start eating solid food and get stronger and more mature. So what are the basics? Let me go through some of them. Actually, I'm going to list 7 of them for you, and this is a good time for you to take some notes. Just jot them down so you don't forget them. Number one, you've got to go deeper in 2 areas. You've got to go deeper in your understanding of who God is. What is He like? What's His characteristics? Who is God really like? Because most of us grow up being taught things about God that aren't true. And we even come up with our own ideas. Well, I think God's like this. I think God's like this. You need to go to the Bible now and discover who God really is. And then secondly, you got to go deeper in your understanding of how much He loves you. Most people have this concept that God is, you know, He's strict. He's like a harsh father, and they have all kinds of bad images and pictures of God in their mind. You've got to really get to understand how much He really loves you. He loves you unbelievably huge. He's got a plan for you. And you need to learn to not only understand how much He loves you, but to live in that love. It's called grace. The word grace means free. It's a Greek word that means free. It's unmerited. You don't earn it. You don't have to earn His love. He gives it to you freely. Will you mess up? Absolutely. You're going to mess up as a Christian. But He still loves you. And you stand in this forgiveness and grace of Jesus every moment for the rest of your life now that you're a believer. Whenever you feel like the devil is kind of getting in your head going, look who you are. You think you're a Christian? Shame on you. You've got to remember to say, well, you know what? I may have blown it, but I stand in the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. That's not changed. You need to learn to understand how much God loves you and live in that love and in that grace. So you got to go deeper in your understanding of who God is. That's going to be slow but sure. You're going to learn more and more about who this God is that you've come to know now and how much He loves you. Make sure you're always resting in who He is and how much He loves you. Number two, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to live His life through you. Through you. The Holy Spirit is a person. We don't believe in a Star Wars theology. He's not a force. He's a person. He has feelings. And one writer has said He may be present inside of all believers, but He's not present inside of all believers. Some believers resist the Holy Spirit. They, what the Bible calls, grieve Him. We grieve Him. We don't cooperate with Him. What does He want to do for you now that He lives in, now that God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you? Well, He wants to guide you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to warn you. And you will sense. I've never heard an audible voice, but I know God is kind of warning me. He prompts me in some way. I know inside that He's warning me about something. He will enlighten you. God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten you. Whenever you read the Bible now, you'll understand stuff that you couldn't understand before you came to know Jesus. And now you understand it. Why is that happening? The Holy Spirit is opening up your mind. So He enlightens you to what truth is. He'll protect you. He'll comfort you in the worst situations. It's the Holy Spirit who will comfort you. He's the comforter. And He'll prompt you. He'll prompt you to obey God. And it's always best that we not fight God, but obey Him. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to live His life through you. So go deeper in your understanding of who God is, how much He loves you. Allow the Holy Spirit to live, to live His life through you. Don't grieve Him. Don't grieve Him. Number three, become a person of the book. The Bible now is your lifeblood. It's your food. Most of us wouldn't think about going through the day without eating something. It's your food. You need to feed on the Bible every day at some point. A lot of people do it early in the morning before the day begins. That's what I do. It's easiest. You get your mind in the right spot even before the craziness begins. Some people like to do it at night. But have a time each day where you feed on God's Word. It is the recipe for your life. And by the way, you can understand it. Don't let anybody ever make you think you can't understand it. This book was made for the common man. So you read it. You study it. What does that mean? Well, there'll be times when you just don't read it, God will encourage you and speak to you through it. But there's times you need to go deeper. You need to kind of study it. Geez, I wonder what that phrase means. I wonder what was happening in the church at that time that would cause Paul to write that to the church. And you'll need helps for that. And I would suggest you go to any Christian bookstore and tell them, what are some Bible handbooks that I can purchase? What are some study helps that I can have so I can understand the Bible as I'm reading it? And there's more than enough helps out there for you to get so you can study it. So you read it. Sometimes you go a little further and study it. And then, of course, you have to apply it. If you don't do it, it doesn't do you any good, really. You've got to apply what you learn from the book. So you need to become a person of the book. It will make you wise. And by the way, just as a caution, it could also make you proud. Knowledge can puff up sometimes. And sometimes when God starts to work in our life and we read the Bible and we get to know things we never knew before, and we talk to other people, sometimes family that never read the Bible, their minds haven't been open to truth like yours has, and we get a little prideful. Oh, look what I know. I know all this about God, and they don't know it. So make sure you don't let pride get in there. But it will make you wise. And it will also give you, by the way, kind of the ground rules for the new life you're going to live with Jesus. You'll have new standards. How I treat my husband, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids. It'll give you a different view of work, money, success in life. All of that will be changed. The Bible uses the terminology, God is going to transform your mind. He's going to change the way you think the more you study the book. But you have to study the book because you're a person of the book now. It is your food. It's God's word. Number four, you need to build what's called spiritual disciplines in your life. A lot of people hate that word, discipline. Oh, I'm not a very disciplined person. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're a Jesus follower, you need to love that word. What are some of the most common spiritual disciplines? Well, we've mentioned them already. Bible study, studying and reading your Bible. Fellowship, coming to church to worship with other believers and be encouraged by other believers. You need to seek the quiet place in your life, solitude. There's just something about getting quiet before God that fills our soul. And this could be done in your car. Turn off the radio. Turn off the music. You know, it's very difficult when you have small children. It's very difficult sometimes in our busy world to find a quiet place. But if you think about it, there are ways where you can just get silent before God. And it's usually in those times, too, it's good to talk to God, to learn to pray to God. But don't forget to be quiet also and listen. Another spiritual discipline is learning to serve God. He's given everybody at least one gift, the Bible says, and you're not to use it just in the work world or in your family or in the community for volunteering. You're also supposed to use it to build up the church. So you should serve somewhere in the church, volunteer to do something in some ministry that God has given you a strength in. And you enjoy doing it. It shouldn't be work. It should be something you enjoy doing, and you're doing it for God. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And then the other spiritual discipline is you need to meet together for some sort of small group. We have small groups here. We have mini churches. We have women's Bible studies and men's Bible studies. Find a smaller group of Christians that you commit to, that you meet pretty regularly with, and here's what you need to do. The Bible talks about one another's. You need to do the one another's in those groups. Encourage one another, teach one another, admonish one another, carry one another's burdens, pray for one another. There's all these one another's. Well, you're not going to do that just attending a service on Sunday. You're going to have to meet again in a smaller group. That's also another spiritual discipline. Number five, watch what you read and who teaches you. Watch what you read and who teaches you. I meet a lot of Jesus followers who come to know Jesus, and they get all excited, and then they go off and they start listening to knuckleheads. I mean, people who just, they teach what's called bad doctrine, goofy stuff. There's a lot of people who look really spiritual. They use all the right language. But if you really discern what they're teaching, it doesn't sound like the Jesus of the Bible. You know, God wants everybody wealthy. All you got to do is drum up enough faith and God will give it to you. You can always twist his arm to give you something. It's goofy stuff. But thousands of people follow these guys. So learn to be very selective and discerning on who you listen to as your teachers. Who do you admire as your preachers or mentors? What are the books you're reading? Learn to discern who teaches sound doctrine. There's a great book, by the way, that I would suggest to you if you're first starting out in your new life with Jesus, and that's the book called The Fight by John White. It's a handbook for Christian living, especially for people who are new to the Christian life. Number six, be patient. Mature Christians are not built in a week, in a month, or even in years. Mature Christians are built over a lifetime. And cut yourself some slack. You know, you're not gonna nail it all the time. But God is going to use even some of those failing times in your life to mature you. You will get stronger. Things will get more clear. But you got to be patient. Mature Christians are built over a lifetime. Remember the promise. God says in the Bible, I will complete the work I start in you. It wasn't your idea for you to come to Jesus. It was God's idea. And so he started the work in you. He'll complete it. It's going to take over a lifetime. So be patient. And then finally, number seven, enjoy the ride. Enjoy God. That's one of the main reasons why God even created you, for you to enjoy him. There's a place in the Bible that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't let people, don't let circumstances suck you dry. Don't allow that to happen. Don't let it happen. Don't hang around people that are constantly sucking the life out of you, especially spiritually. You can make a decision. I don't have to hang with these people. Jesus paid too great a price for you not to enjoy your salvation, not to enjoy God. So be careful to discipline yourself away from anything or anybody that's going to suck the life out of your walk with God, your enjoyment with God. Enjoy God. God chose you. Before the world was even created, the Bible says God chose you. He knows everything about you. And he's got a plan for you. And more than that, he'll complete this plan. And the Bible is full of great promises. We need to learn to live in the promises of God. Memorize those verses and live in those verses. Like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, you have everything you will need for life and godliness. What a promise. God is saying there, you have been set up for success. I'm going to give you everything you're going to need for your life and to be godly, to follow me. Listen to me. You follow these seven basics, you'll not only survive, you'll thrive.